Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is an unexpected and heartbreaking update to a story that we've covered on this show in the past involving Pedro Ruiz and Mona Lisa Perez. And if those names and faces are not familiar to you, essentially the TLDR is that last year this couple had a stunt video they decided to shoot. And the stunt was simply that from short range, Mona Lisa would fire a 50 cal Desert Eagle into a book in front of Ruiz. And despite as common sense would tell most people that this is a horrible idea, the most likely result is someone is going to die. And there are also being tons of videos online showing this is very much a bad idea because it is very likely that the bullet will go through. The stunt took place, Ruiz was shot, he was killed. All of this also reportedly happened in front of their daughter. One of the last updates we talked about with this story happened in March where Mona Lisa Perez was sentenced to 180 days. She had faced a maximum of 10 years. She ended up just getting the 180, and in fact, she only has to serve 10 days at a time. And there was this huge debate about it, but now more information has come out that I think makes Mona Lisa Perez a more sympathetic figure. The prosecutor's office have released two new pieces of information. The first being that they released a video before the incident slash stunt. You see them setting up, joking around. You also see Pedro demonstrating poor gun safety knowledge. He has his finger on the trigger while the gun is loaded. At a different time, he points the then unloaded weapon in Mona Lisa's direction, but if you know anything about guns, you should always treat it as if it is loaded. You see him really trying to explain the power this weapon has.
This thing goes coming right out the muzzle at about 1500 feet per second. That's just over 3 football fields in length in the matter of a second.
And to that I will say I'm only pointing this out because distance and power really, they matter here. That's actually 5 football fields. And then at the end of the video, he goes on this small piece where he talks about how much he trusts Mona Lisa, but also that he is ready to die.
The most trustworthy person that I trust in this world is my girlfriend, Mona Lisa. So if I'm gonna die, I'm pretty much ready to go to heaven right now. If I die, I'll be ready for Jesus. He probably won't accept me into the pearly gates because how stupid this is, but I have confidence that my girlfriend will hit the book and not me.
And then the second piece of new information that the prosecutor's office released was a transcript of a video directly before the shooting. And as far as why they decided against releasing the actual video, they said it was because it was clearly offensive to common sensibilities. But that said, just reading through the transcript, it's heartbreaking. It turns out Mona Lisa didn't want to do the video. In one piece, Pedro says, "Hey, this is the moment of truth, babe." She's just crying. She says, "Stop." And another piece, she says, "I can't do it, babe. I'm so scared." Another, she says, "Babe, I'm not doing this. I can't." He says, "Come on." She says, "Babe, if I kill you, what's gonna happen to my life? Like, no, this isn't okay." She says, "I don't want to be responsible." And Pedro says, "You won't as long as you hit the book. As long as you hit the book, you'll be fine. Come on, the battery's gonna die on it. Come closer." And I will personally say, for me, this has made Mona Lisa a much more sympathetic figure. Right, to me, it sounds very much like this story of you had this pregnant woman that had trusted her boyfriend, that he had done all the research, that he knew what was going on. She still didn't want to do it. She got pressured, but then also at the end of the day, she did pull the trigger herself. And still, you need to think about personal responsibility. We have to be responsible for our own actions. But the question I do want to pass off to you, with this information now coming out to the public, do you understand more the 180 days rather than something closer to the 10-year maximum? Or no, it should have been harsher, or maybe you're on the other side that she shouldn't have gotten anything at all because it was a pressure pull? Let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. And then let's talk about a story involving a woman by the name of Allison Attell. She is part of a video that was filmed in San Francisco that has just blown up with the hashtag Permit Patty. This because in the video she appears to call, or at the very least threatens to call, the police on an 8-year-old black girl.
This woman don't want to let a little girl sell some water. She calling police on an 8-year-old little girl. You can hide all you want, the whole world gonna see you, boo.
Yeah, and illegally selling water without a permit.
Yeah. On my property.
It's not your property.
Apparently, this young girl's mother, who had recently lost her job, made a deal with her. It planned a trip to Disneyland, but because she lost her job, money was tight. We can't do it. But she said, sure, if you can raise the money, we can still go. And so this little girl, Jordan, she goes outside of the apartment building. She starts trying to sell water. The family reportedly lives across the street from AT&T Park, where the Giants were playing that day. But according to Allison Attell, the little girl and her mother were making far too much noise, saying they were screaming about what they were selling. It was literally nonstop. It was every 2 seconds, come and buy my water. It was continuous, and it wasn't a soft voice. It was screaming. Attell also acknowledged acknowledging that her windows to her apartment were open, but she said she had to do that because it was far too hot. Allison then says she tried to get the apartment building security to do something. They say we can't. And so then she confronts this little girl and her mother, and according to the mother, she asks the little girl if she has a permit, and then, as we've seen in the video, Allison then takes out her phone. It looks like she's gonna call police. It goes viral, and now, of course, we're talking about it. Now, since this video went viral, Allison wants people to know that they do not have the full story, saying she did call the police, but she did not call them so that they would respond.
There was no point in having the police come. That wasn't it. I just wanted them to be quiet or move to a corner. They were being disruptive.
She also says, despite what the mother said, that she never talked to the young girl. She also claims that her actions were not racially motivated.
There was never a racial issue, ever. First of all, I didn't even know who was the one doing the shouting. I couldn't see. All I could hear was the shouting. I had no idea who it was. How could it have been race-related?
Later telling the Today Show, I want the little girl to know that it's not her fault. I want the mother to know this was nothing to do with race at all. It had everything to do with the disturbance. I was very stressed out. But then also adding, I definitely made comments that I never would have in any other situation, and it's not an excuse. And also saying that it was the mother that told her to call police about permits. Additionally, she said she has now received death threats, that this is hurting her business. Apparently, she has a business that sells cannabis pet products, and a dispensary has said they won't stock her stuff anymore, telling the Huffington Post that she feels discriminated against. But then on the other side of this, on how did this situation end up for the little girl, according to the relative, someone gifted them 4 tickets to Disneyland. And personally, I'm left thinking that this woman actually did the best thing possible for this little girl, because I don't want to criticize her ability to sell water, but it does seem like this little girl was set up to fail until someone decided to call the police about what she was doing. But still, with that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this? And also, what do you think about the fallout for Allison? Is this something that, you know, really should be expected at this point, or no, it's going too far? Is it over the top and horrible, or no, this is just what you end up seeing in a very connected and public society? But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today, and today in Awesome brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you need a domain, an online store, or a beautiful website, make it with Squarespace. And it's so easy to do it thanks to Squarespace's intuitive, easy to use, all-in-one platform. You've got nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Plus, if you need any help, they have award-winning 24/7 customer service. So if you want to make the smart move like many from the nation have, you want to start your free trial, go to squarespace.com/Phil, and when you like it, make sure you enter in offer code Phil for 10% off your first purchase. And the first bit of awesome today, I am so excited for it. We got a trailer for The Equalizer 2. They should just start calling all these movies Denzel Washington being a badass and then just give them numbers and I'd watch them. I'm a simple, simple man in that way. Then we had Mega 64 saving you hours and hours and hours of your life, because they have taken on Dragon Ball Z and given us the Cell Saga in 5 minutes sweeted. Then for fans of Westworld, just maybe need a little more, they're not ready for the wait. HBO released the behind the scenes for The Valley Beyond. Then I wanted to pimp out some small creators by the name of Third Leg Studios. They put out a sketch called Toxic Masculinity that you might like. Then we got a trailer for Michael Caine's new movie, King of Thieves. We had Allison Brie and Marc Maron answering the web's most searched questions. And if you want to see the full versions of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, anything at all, links as always are in the description down below. And then let's talk about, come on, you know what it's gonna be, we have to do it for housekeeping. We need to talk about what the actual hell happened at a thing called TanaCon. I, of course, mentioned that the event was happening Thursday. I was actually pretty excited to see how it would do, but also said that I was still keeping an eye on it because it might turn into a shit show. And it did, but I really could not have predicted exactly what it would look like. And if you're not familiar, this event, this con, was created by a 20-year-old YouTuber by the name of Tana Mojo, seemingly as a giant middle finger reaction to VidCon, who she was not happy with due to last year. And so she decided to hold this con using a company by the name of Good Time. At the same time as VidCon, in a very close proximity to VidCon, with some creators that were even going to VidCon as well as some extras. And as we now know, unfortunately for Tana, even though she teamed up with a company called Good Times, many people that attended the event did not have one.
Wow.
But a quick personal note that I do want to throw out there is that there are actually multiple people to be angry at, and Tana is not the one that I am most infuriated by. In fact, she very much seems like she's trying to own it and fix it, but we'll get to all of that. So now, where to begin? Well, actually, one of the main points about TanaCon was supposed to be inclusivity. There were free tickets available, there was a promise that anyone could be a featured creator, and that the whole point of this was fan interaction. And right off the bat on Friday, things did not get off to a great start. They were supposed to start registering people at 6 a.m., but they didn't get started until after 8. 8 a.m. According to Tana, 20,000 people showed up to the Anaheim Marriott Suites before noon, and that 20K included, according to Tana, 15,000 unticketed people. But initially, this could be a positive. She tweeted, "We are debating adding a third day just to show gratitude for all of the love. Maybe just a day where I can really hang out with all you guys because your faces are making me so happy." But for many of the people that were outside, it was just a nightmare. According to reports in the video, it looks like there's no shade, there's no water, and you have people out there for hours. There are reports of people saying they felt nauseous, some fainting due to the heat. That said, there were people that were able to get into the building. And we've seen differing reports, some people saying that it was only people with tickets that were able to get through and actually enjoy the initial events. But then separately, we saw reports that people without tickets actually got in before and instead of people who had purchased their tickets ahead of time. And the thing is, looking at the actual venue, it's not at all surprising that this happened. Tana and Good Time said they were expecting 5,000 people, that they could have never prepared for this. But according to the Marriott website, the largest event space they have holds 1,018 people. And according to reports, there was a smaller room meant for meet and greets that held approximately 50 people, despite hundreds of passes being sold for each one. It also looked like they were trying to monetize both paying and non-paying because they had a merch table where they had shirts for like $150, $300. Additionally, gift bags that have been included with VIP tickets that Tana had once advertised as. The paid ticket offers line skipping, a gift bag worth more than quadruple the price of the whole ticket, private meet and greets, and a few more surprises. Reportedly turned out to be just condoms that said Tana Condom, stickers, and a bracelet. In addition to this, there was also reportedly no food available inside the convention. Security at one point decided telling people to just move one way. So it essentially became one long line moving through the hallway of the hotel, leading some people to tweet out hashtag Tana Hallway. They then reportedly began operating at capacity, meaning that they wouldn't let new people in until other people had left. And so while tons of people were outside, inside there were a few events, like a panel, and there was a wedding. But then ultimately, TanaCon was officially shut down and everyone was told to leave. And in response to all of this happening, Tana tweeted out that they might extend it for another day for free. We also saw the CEO of Good Times, Michael Weiss, hitting those same points.
"So we are actually going to extend, likely, Saturday, we might do something on Sunday. Stay posted for Tana's tweet, she's watching everything else. So we're gonna buy a venue out, like next door, we're gonna expand."
And we'll talk about Michael a little more in a second. Additionally, we saw Tana and Bella Thorne go outside to address the crowd. So they go outside. Later in the day, we see Tana tweet that they're going to try and move the event, specifically to one that holds an extra 5,000 people. Adding Shane, this in reference to Shane Dawson, "and I are working on some awesome cool stuff. We love you." Around 6 p.m., Michael Weist says, "We're going to make adjustments and we will keep updated with everything as soon as our plans are confirmed." But then ultimately Saturday morning came around and Good Times released a statement saying the entire event was canceled. This due to an overwhelming and unexpected response of over 15,000 unregistered guests arriving to the venue Friday morning. Unfortunately, inclusivity to everyone became a safety hazard for the exact people we wanted to accommodate. Additionally, Michael Weiss also issued a statement outside of TanaCon where he decided to take this opportunity to also throw VidCon under the bus.
"What we want to do is fix that. So rather than what VidCon does and our competitors and arrest people and create issues, we decided to shut down the event for safety. Didn't block fire exits and things like that that would cause major issues."
I will say, I personally find that to be a weird strategy to be like, "I'm sorry that our thing is on fire, but unlike those assholes who seemingly had no problems this year, we were better and we're gonna outdo them, even though it was our shit that's broken." Anyway, and following all of that, kind of looking at the fallout, seeing what happened after the fallout, there are a few things that I wanna point out and also a few people that I wanna talk about. The first being massive creator, one of the biggest pulls for TanaCon, Shane Dawson. We saw him tweeting, "I think TanaCon had good intentions and I think Tana's big heart was in the right place, but I guess a convention just can't be thrown in a month. It's not realistic. I genuinely support Tana for trying something like this, but at this point I don't think it's safe." Later, when he learned that TanaCon was canceled, he said he was heartbroken for the fans out there, also saying, "I don't blame Tana, but I do have serious questions for the people that organized the event. Overselling tickets, not having enough water, and letting people burn." Adding, "Not okay, and even though it's not my event, I promise I'll make it up to you. I'm so sorry." And my personal note here is I think it's a very genuine statement, having known Shane even just slightly. I know that he 100%, I don't imagine him in any way not having an anxiety attack about everything that was going on and being heartbroken about it. And in general, just being mature and fair about the situation, although of course with Tana being his friend, he's going to be biased. But then on the other end of things, you had people like Bella Thorne. Bella, during this colossal failure, decided to put an unexpected target in her sight, specifically security. Bella tweeted, "Security can be such dicks sometimes. I'm fucking sorry, guys." This was followed the next day by taking a shot at VidCon. This because apparently there was a Pray for Tana shirt being sold at VidCon. Bella tweeting, disgusting VidCon, this is so in-fucking sensitive. Are you making a joke about all the victims of past abuse, everyone that has to be prayed for? Adding, when there's a hashtag pray for them, these people are usually critical condition or dead. VidCon, you are disgusting to even make that joke when T is alive. And I want to hit on two notes there. One, regarding the shirt, reportedly that is just from a random vendor that happened to be at VidCon who had the shirt made before TanaCon went haywire. But why care about facts when you're just trying to deflect? And also, two, really, Bella, you needed to shit on the security people just trying to do their best, even though, according to Good Times, they expected 5,000 people max? The security people at the event just trying to do their jobs, that's the real problem. That is some elitist garbage bullshit, Bella. And looking at your later tweets, I really can't tell if this was coming from like a drug-fueled place or this was kind of just your garden variety, dense, stupid people bullshit. Either way, or maybe there's a third reason, I just want Bella Thorne to know that I'm sending her my thoughts and prayers. Then, as far as Tana's reaction, like I said at the beginning, she is very much owning the situation, saying refunds will be issued even if I write the check out of my own pocket, saying I refuse to give up on this, but I still will be held accountable and take full blame, but also adding earlier on, I was truly under the impression that we were selling to capacity and took it as far as speaking with several people very high up at Marriott. But at the same time, it is incredibly important to point out that this is not just coming out of nowhere, that there's this demonization of just 15,000 randoms that thought they could just come through. That was part of the advertised appeal, and I don't just mean the you know, the pockets of free tickets that were offered to people. The best example of that comes from May 25th. A fan says, I have a ticket to VidCon, but oh well. To which Tana responds, that's fine. TanaCon is free, and I promise I have your favorite creators, so just roll through. That screenshot started making the rounds. Some people said it was fake. Nope, I searched it this morning. It is very much real. So the fact that anyone is surprised an incredibly large number of people showed up is ridiculous. Depending on the person, it ultimately comes down to ignorance or just stupidity. One of the final things I'll hit on, if you went to TanaCon or if you know someone that went to TanaCon, Good Times did release a statement and a link for those that want to get refunds. They said they can't give the refunds automatically for some reason, and people have until January 5th of next year. And some people have said this is a refund scheme, that the hope for Good Times is that not a lot of people will actually seek out the refund. But also to add on top of that, I think it also doesn't take into account all the air travel leading up to the event, the cars, the hotels. And of course, that's already on top of the ridiculous experience they had to go through. And ultimately where I land on this, I end up just being very, very disappointed. And the reason for that is, like I said on Thursday, when it comes to events like this, no matter what my opinion was of Tana before this, I always end up hoping for success, because whenever you get competition, that usually makes everyone up their game. Also, the prospect of individual creators being able to launch these massive events, have ownership of a thing rather than just, you know, going to a place, providing all the value, that you get a free room, that kind of success would transcend her, transcend the event and everyone that went to it, and really show the industry that there was a shakeup. But unfortunately, like I briefly mentioned Thursday, there was always the possibility that it would be a shit show. And then looking at all the specifics and history leading up to it, yeah, it's hard to imagine this having gone any other way. But with all of that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this situation? Any and all thoughts you have, let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. And that's actually where I'm going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, hit that like button. If you want more of this, hit subscribe. Make sure you ring that bell properly. And you might think there's no wrong way to ring a bell, but YouTube has some other opinions. Also, if you missed the last Philip DeFranco show, you want to catch up, click or tap right there to watch that. Or maybe you need some behind-the-scenes goodness from our time at VidCon, you can click or tap right there. But that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been Phil's in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.